Last week, if you'll remember, and I know it'll be a challenge for you to remember because I had to go back and look at what we talked about last week too. We began examining God's call upon our lives as His children, that we all have a call. Certainly some are called to professional or ordained ministry, but all of us are called to be light and love in the world around us. As we spoke about that call last week, we identified some attributes of how God places the call upon our life. We examined the call of Samuel, the boy ministering in the temple, and we used that acronym CALL to distinguish some ways that God uses those around us and the Holy Spirit works in us to offer us a call in our profession, in our family, maybe a move, maybe a change to a new ministry within or even without sight of the church. One of the letters that we saw exemplified in Samuel's calling was the C. We search for consensus, those who we respect and journey with in our faith. The Spirit will speak the same affirming word to them as we hear. There is a consensus in God's call. The A of how God calls us. God calls us when we are attentive, when we are obedient, willing, and eager to serve and to follow. The first L of God's call upon our lives is when we listen. When we are eager to actually hear from God. Not only always in our prayers to talk to God, but searching the Spirit for what God may be wanting to say to us. And finally, Samuel's other example of how God initiates the call in our life is that God calls us legibly. It's clear. It's not hard to figure out. It's not as if we're reading Greek when we search for what God is saying to us. No, the call is crystal clear. I even said last week, if we have to ask if God is calling us to something, then God is probably not calling us to something. At least at that point, it may be part of the discernment. When we get to that point of response, it will be so clear that we don't even have to ask the question. The yes and the amen will be there. Those are the things that we talked about last week on how God calls. Now, why couldn't I just preach a 5-minute sermon last week if I just gave y'all the whole thing again, right? Can't tell y'all all my tricks. Got to hold back something, John. But today, we transition in the gospel text for looking at how God issues the call to us to more of an understanding, as we see written here in the gospel, of what is the result of God's call upon our life. God's call upon us as a family, in our daily work, and in our eagerness to be receptive, to embrace new ministries, or even that scary word, change, in our life and in the life of those we love. You know, there's one sentence in our text today that I really want to focus on. And it's the only sentence where Jesus is quoted within this gospel reading in Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, where he says to those that he issues the call to, what would become his disciples, right? He says these words, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." See, Jesus was talking to fishermen. And he spoke to them in the language that they understood. Remember, we spoke earlier of God's call being legible and clear unto us. And as I consider the words of Jesus' call here to the fishermen, there are some of us who are real fishermen, like Doc Howell back there. And there's some of us who are fake fishermen, like Kenny Hill and me. We've journeyed out on that lake before, not caught a thing, haven't we, Kenny? In this call, we hear where Jesus said those words, and let's remember who it was he's talking to. It says that the fishermen, Randall, were in the boat mending their nets. You know what that tells me? Fishing's hard work. The mending of the nets wouldn't be any fun, would it? This wasn't simply something they were doing to entertain themselves. This was their livelihood. It was their profession. Sometimes it's hard work. So friend, when God places a call upon us, transitioning to a new ministry, hearing a new service that God wants us to embrace on behalf of our community or the world around us, let's don't be so naive to believe that it'll be easy. And on the other side, when it gets hard, let's don't simply think, well, this must not be of God. This world is filled with challenges, right? And our calling, the way that God calls us to walk, is no different. It will continue to be a lifetime of work. Not only do we hear that it is not always easy to embrace and embody being Christ-like in the world around us, but also I'm reminded in these words of Jesus what he says too. Follow me and I'll make you fish for people. Now, there's a wise old saying among fishermen. There's a reason that it's called fishing and not catching. You don't always catch, right? In other words, in the ways of the world, our ministry, our call, we will not always be successful in the ways of the world. Have I got you fully depressed now upon the call? I've shared with you that it's hard work, and I've shared with you that it always won't be necessarily your identification or those around you's identification of what it means to be successful. Last night, Manya and I went out and visited with our friend Pam Verdung and Jill Clark and had a nice gathering. The guys were away, so I was the only rooster at a hen party. And I did what any good rooster would do. I went in the other room and took a nap and let them continue to have their party. In that party, as we were gathering and talking, and we talked about Chris Clark, Jill's husband, my friend being a fisherman. And Chris is multi-talented. Not only is he a fisherman, he's also a plumber. He came to our house once to do some work, and we were both gone, and I gave him the code to our garage so he could just let himself in. Isn't that good about living in a small town? You know people, you trust people, you have friends who are going to do you a good job. Chris called me a few minutes later and he said, this garage code's not working. I gave it to him again. He said, it's still not working. He said, I've done everything. You want me to go around and go in one of the windows? And I said, well, you could do that. And he said, now, wait a minute. Is your front door white? I said, no, my front door's gray. He said, I'm at the wrong house. Now here, let's examine that. If Chris had persisted, he could have gotten in the house, right? Now, it probably would not have been a good result, and certainly not the result he had desired. He could have forced his way in there, right? But he didn't have come in the front door, and he wouldn't have had a welcoming reception. Friends, our passage says in our text that Jesus proclaimed to the disciples, listen with me again, follow me and I will make you fish for people. You see, my friend Chris, comically as we heard there, he went to the wrong place or in the wrong direction. Friends, one way that we are sure and certain to be in the right way in our ministry Hey, let's break it down further. To be in the right way in our family's journey together, to be in the right way as a coach, as an educator, as a leader in our community, to be in the right way and go to the right place where that code is always going to answer when we try to enter is when we do this, when we follow Christ. He will lead us in the right path. You see, oftentimes, I'm tempted to get ahead of Christ. I'm tempted to say, God, I've got a great plan. Why don't you follow me in my arrogance? But the Scripture, the call of our Lord today is the same for us as it was for the disciples. Jesus says, if you want to go in the right path for your family, for your church, for your community, then begin by doing this. Follow me. Isn't that reassuring? Because you know, I don't have the best sense of navigation. Manya's so much better than me. My dad's wonderful at finding direction, staying on the path. I'll get lost. And it's so reassuring for me to know I don't have to know the way. All I have to know in my life and ministry to go in the right path is to follow in the steps of Christ. Jesus said, come to me when you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest, and follow me and I'll lead you in the right path to fish for people. That's encouraging. That's reassuring. But here's the thing. Some of you may be saying today, and to be honest, I don't know who this sermon is for today. I'm sure there's words through the Holy Spirit for all of us. But some of you, maybe if there's someone listening who's wrestling with a new call in their life, in their profession, or in a physical move in some way, that you may be saying, Jody, here's the thing. I don't know how to do it. I'm not prepared. I don't seem to have the skills. We may have those same excuses, if that's the word we want to use, that Moses did, right? I'm too old. I've got a bad past. I got a bad temper. I don't know how to talk. Friends, here is the truth of our text. Did you hear, once again, that sentence where Jesus ordered or called upon his disciples and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, follow me because you're already a good fisherman. He didn't say, follow me because you've got the words of eloquence or the gifts of leadership. He said, follow me and I will make you what I need for you to serve the world to my Father's glory. See, my friend Chris, the fisherman, Jill told me last night, she said, Chris hardly watches TV. Only thing he'll watch on his phone, something about fishing. To help him learn more about it, Doc. See, God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. And he equips us when we have a discerning and a willing heart like that fisherman that wants to learn more about their trade. We study the Scripture. We spend time in prayer. We spend time with God and we're receptive to learning more and being equipped by the one who calls. My friend Kenneth Drury, who we worked with for many years in our construction operation at Hill Brothers Construction, was wrestling with a call to professional ministry at one time in his life. And Ken and I had some discussions about the call and my journey to faith and how the Holy Spirit placed that call upon me. And I was willing to journey with Kenneth along that path. And he told me a story once, Jason, of how God ultimately made that call clear and legible in his life. Ken said, I was going hunting one Sunday and I was just miserable. You know, I'd been wrestling with a call. I couldn't find any peace, Randall. He said, I was searching for affirmation. And I shouldn't have been hunting anyway. It was on Sunday. And it was early before church, so I thought, I've just got to get out in nature and I've got to clear my head. And he said, as I went out, I laid out that fleece as the prophet did of old, that test of God. And said, God, if you want me to go into ministry, then give me a trophy book today and I'll surrender. I've heard of worse ways of doing it. But Ken did. He said he went out hunting that morning. And just as he was about to finish his day's hunt, a beautiful 4-point buck, little bitty rack, walked out in front of him. Ken said, I harvested that beautiful buck. And as I approached it, I looked down and I thought, I'm just as confused now as ever. It's not the trophy I had anticipated. And he said, I heard these words, whether they were audible or breathed into my spirit, I heard these words from heaven. Yes, my son, but he's a trophy to me. Friends, remember, I said to you in the ways of the world, our call, our life's work may not always seem successful or trophies as those who look upon what we do. But friends, I can tell you as one who will witness that when we will follow Christ, it will always be fruitful, for God will take our meager efforts and turn them into a glorious harvest of a trophy that we could have never accomplished on our own. That's the gift of the call. And you know, there's one other gift of the call. My friend Bobby Martin, who's a friend of many of us in this community, in this sanctuary, told me a story once of a fishing trip he took as a young boy. He said he and his little black friend Charles, in the early 40s, when little white boys and little black kids didn't hang out too much together, they went fishing with a mentor of Bobby's who often stayed in the hotel that his mama managed. And he took those boys fishing and they weren't catching anything. And while he wasn't looking, the mentor slipped around and put some of the brim on their hook that he had caught so they could feel the fruit of the fishing trip as well. He never forgot what that man did for him. And he never forgot that he had journeyed with him on that lake that day, feeling joy and happiness beyond what he could even express. Friends, why do we embrace God's call? Ultimately, we embrace God's call because we get to fish with the one who made us and saved us. We get to be nurtured by a one who mentors us in a far greater way than Bobby's friend did on that pond bank that day. For the benefit of embracing God's call upon our life is we get to be nurtured and loved by Jesus our Lord, the greatest fisherman the world has known. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are grateful.